GPS took me 3 hours out of my way.
Oh, wow.
I was disgruntled. Yeah. But I got to say happy birthday to my grandson and celebrate his first birthday, so that was good. And I made it there safely, so that's all that matters. If you will look in your bulletins on the back, we have announcements. Next Sunday, we will have the Old Country Church service. So be here and bring people with you. And if you have not already filled out a survey, if you would please do that and get it to me, that would be great. We're trying to see what people are interested in doing and make sure that they have the opportunity to serve in whatever capacity they're interested in or just willing to. Also, I did bring my camera today, so if you would like to have your picture made this afternoon, hang around afterwards and meet me in the fellowship hall. Other than that, the rest of the announcements, I think, are pretty self-explanatory. Let's continue on to, if you look at inside of the bulletin, we have our affirmation of faith. We who are gathered as Bellevue Christian Church confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and proclaim Him Lord and Savior. We believe the mission of Bellevue Christian Church is to worship God by gathering weekly around the Lord's table and committing ourselves to Christian unity, to seek to know God and to make God known through study and teaching of Scriptures, and to create a loving faith community that invites and cares for all God's people. Our call to worship this morning is from Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Okay, if you would please stand if you're able. Thank you.
be seated. Before I do this song that's a tribute to my dad, I want to give you all the opportunity. Many of us have lost our fathers, so I want to give you the opportunity, if there's something that you would like to stand and say, or sit and say in tribute to your father, feel free to do so. Yes. I would hope it would be what you think.
He was a very balanced fellow. And he loved everybody. And he was a true Christian man. And the last thing he told me before he died with kidney failure. And he said, "Caroline, I'm going to have breakfast with Jesus." And I said, "Oh, Daddy, I hope you do, and I know you will."
Great, great word. Anyone else?
My dad was a scientist all his life. He was always curious about how the world worked, and he taught me to just always pursue learning and always ask why, and I think that's the most important question that we can ask about things when we're confronted with something we don't understand. Ask why, and you'll find out a lot more about it than just going, "Oh, that's okay." But anyway, my dad, you were talking about your father's death, and my father, the day that he died, my sister and I were helping to change his covers, and we were singing softly and tenderly, "Jesus is Calling," and he was mouthing the words to that song, and that's always been my favorite hymn, always reminds me of my dad.
That's a great song to leave this world on.
May I say something? Carrie Woodward, is that her name?
Carolyn?
She's got a record out. Mm-hmm. And it's all gospel songs. Mm-hmm. And you all ought to get it. It is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. It just chill bumps just run all over you. And it's just come out. And I got it. And I love it.
I think she sang that song too, softly and tenderly. I think I heard her.
They're all Christian songs.
Yeah. Anyone else?
I was very fortunate to have two Christian parents. My dad was not a Christian when he and my mom married, but he accepted Jesus as his Savior quite a few years before I came along. And one of the things that I remember the most about him is that he taught Sunday school, and every Saturday night, actually, throughout the week, but especially on Saturday nights, he would go and to his room by himself and study his lesson and read the word and pray that he would be able to teach the lesson and that people would get something from it. And it's just a great example, one of many, that I saw the prep work that he put into dealing with people and witnessing to them. So that's one of my favorite memories of, I wasn't actually with him when he did it, but I watched him go into his prayer closet, so to speak, and prepare.
Anyone else?
Sure.
One more.
My dad died when I was 19, but he had a profound influence on me because he was a man that loved God. But my favorite memory of my dad is my mother and daddy discussing politics and religion at the breakfast table. He was great.
Oh, he'd have a lot to talk about today. Yeah. All right. Anyone else? Last call. Anyone else? Okay. Well, I figured since I'm going to do a tribute to mine, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do a tribute to yours. So it was 11 years ago that I lost my dad. But like Marcia, my dad hadn't accepted the Lord when he and my mom married. It was several years later. Actually, I was in college when he accepted the Lord. And there's a wonderful story with that, but I'm going to just stick to this part of it for now. I may tell you the rest of it later. But he became a Christian. He became so committed to his faith. And he and I would meet at White Mills, Kentucky at a Christian camp every year for a men's retreat. And we did that for about 25 years, and Dad went from playing volleyball to hardly being able to walk from the car to the place. I had to drive him to the particular building because he couldn't walk it anymore. His breathing had got so difficult. And then add to all that, he goes to the doctor and finds out that he has a tumor that is right at his breathing tube. And so he asked the doctor, well, what can we do? And the doc said, well, we could operate. And Dad said, well, how long do you think that would give me? He said, maybe a couple of years, but you'd be in a nursing home all your life. He said, well, what if we do nothing? He said, well, you might have a couple of years. And Dad said, you know, I'm ready for my eternity. I'm ready to go home. So we're just not going to do anything. We're going to leave it in the Lord's hands. And he did die, of course, but not from that. And I'm thankful that he didn't react to that, because it could have took his life sooner. But anyhow, it was several years later, probably in the last 5 years, there was a particular season where the Lord was just laying songs and messages on my heart. And this was one of them, that one of those, and it's very special to me, because it's the story of his life. When Dad was 3 years old, he grew up in the Depression. His mom and Dad were divorced. Back in that day, it was just unheard of. So he never knew his father. He was taken from the home at 3 years old, put in a foster home. He didn't know why, but he figured that his mom just couldn't take care of the 8 kids. And so they took them off from the home, placed them in different places. Had to be a very frightening thing for a little guy. Then he was drafted to World War II. And then it was, after he got out of service, he came home, got a job. When he was about 50, gave his life to the Lord, became a very committed leader in the church, elder, deacon, served the Lord. And so I wrote this song for him. Thank you. couldn't understand what was going on. A little boy who suddenly was taken from his home. He felt so alone, the pain he felt inside seemed like more than he could bear. Tears filled his eyes, and he cried, "I want to go home." He thought of leaving there. He was ready to go. He cried, "I want to go home." Though it seemed so far, his home was near. He cried, "I want to go home." When he was grown, a war was going on. Once again, it seemed he was taken from his home. When it's time to serve had finally come to an end, all he had on his mind was going home again. And he thought, "I want to go home." Soon I'll be leaving here. I'm ready to go. Though it seems so far, I know my home is near. I want to go home. As the years went by, so weak he lied in bed. He told his family he loved them, and so softly said, and I heard my dad say, "I want to go home." Though it's hard to say goodbye, I'm ready to go. I want to go home. Though it seems so far, my new home is near. Lord, I want to go home. Though it seems so far, I know heaven's near. Lord, oh my Lord, I want to go home.
Time right after that. Okay. Look on the back of our bulletin. David and Helen are doing really well. David was out walking on his porch the other day, and I stopped and visited them a while, and just seems like his old self. And so we hope to be seeing them back soon. Want to continue to pray for the Rowe family. Any updates, Marcia?
Natalie had surgery this week. She's had some sort of a diabetic infection. And they tried Lansing and that didn't work, so she had to have surgery. As far as I know, that went well. I asked Debbie to keep me posted, and I haven't heard from her. Paisley has been transferred to Arkansas Children's Hospital for some intestinal issues. But Ellie Grace is doing really well, and my friend Debbie is keeping her. So.
The Phillips family, Chris Phillips, Marie's neighbor, passed away this past week. So keep them in your prayers. Larry Shelton, dealing with pain from bone cancer. Donna Hale, dealing with breast cancer. Continue to pray for God's leadership to our leaders, both in the church and in our country. Pray for our church family who cannot attend at this time. Any other prayer requests?
I have a praise, and he does not need to go back on the list, but Mark Gilliam, mm-hmm. who we've been praying for his cancer treatment, he gets to return to work actually this week. So he'll be back in the office. Definitely an answer to prayer.
Great. Okay. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you. We thank you that we can gather to worship, knowing that there is a reason for us to be here. It's because of what Jesus did for us that we have a home to go to. But we're thankful that while we're here on this earth, there are many struggles that we face. What a blessing it is that we can come to you. So we lift up these who we've mentioned who have prayer needs, prayers of healing and prayers of comfort. We just pray for peace for all these and many others that might be on our individual hearts this morning. We thank you that you told us to come to you to pray. Even gave us a great example to pray when you taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of communion is number 59, This Is My Father's World.
Thank you.
pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the world that you created for us. And more than that, Lord, we thank you for sending your Son to rescue us when we rebelled against you. We're so grateful that through his body and blood there is salvation by grace. Father, we just ask that you help us be mindful of the sacrifice that was made as we partake of the elements, and please be with us. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus, when he took the bread, he said, "This is my body. It is broken for you."
Every time you partake of it, think of me. Think of my sacrifice. Remember me. Let us partake and remember Jesus. In like manner, he took the cup. He said, "This cup represents my blood. As often as you partake of that, let my blood wash over you. And remember, it washes your sins away." Let's remember him. At this time, we'll receive the offering. Lord, we give you thanks for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We thank you now that we have the opportunity to bring back a portion of what you've given to us. Use it, bless it for your purposes. In Christ's name, amen.
Roses, and the voice I hear, all in all.
this morning. It's Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. I'm reading out of the New American Standard. And he said, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey to a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to celebrate. Now, his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, 'Look, for many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we have to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found.'"
This is a very familiar passage. We call it the story of but actually, it's about three main characters. There's the father. There is the son who wandered. And then there's the son who stayed home with the father. And I think that this story actually tells us more about the father than it does the sons, although it tells us about the sons. So, you know, the story opens up in a familiar way that the younger son goes to his father and says, "Father, give me my share right now." Now, Jesus is telling this story to his Jewish audience. They're jaws must